Lord. And so our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm number 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The word of God for the people of God. When was the very first time you ever looked out upon God's creation and were in awe of what you saw before you? Were you standing up in the mountains, overlooking a valley below? Were you standing on the coast, watching the waves crash before you? Maybe for you it was going to a place like the Grand Canyon and seeing God's marvelous handiwork. For me, I was a young child, and it was my first time going to the mountains, and we crammed as many people as you can fit into a minivan and drove up to the Smokies. And we were sitting in the floor. We were sitting in the trunk. I mean, nowadays we would have got lots of tickets for this. But back then they didn't care how we drove and how we rode. No seat belts were necessary. And so everybody just piled in. I can't remember how many there were. It felt like 20. But I know there wasn't 20. But we went up there, and I remember being miserable just the whole time. It was awful. And I was complaining, as a lot of little kids will do. And I asked the most annoying question that anybody could ever ask: are we there yet? And then I finally got there. And I just remember not talking. Because while I'd seen a lot of hills over in Cookeville, where I grew up, I had never seen any mountains. And when we hiked up to the top of the mountain and looked out, I just remember feeling very small. Anybody ever felt like that? And I think, don't you hear that with David? As he looks up at the moon, as he looks up at the stars, he feels kind of small. And he's like, what is mankind that you would be mindful of him? Why do you pay attention to us when we look out at your handiwork? We see that we're pretty small in comparison. Carl Sagan, who was an American astrophysicist, once had this to say about it: as long as there have been humans, we have searched for our place in the cosmos. Where are we? Who are we? We find that we live on an insignificant planet, on a humdrum star lost in the galaxy, tucked away in some forgotten corner of the universe in which there are far more galaxies than people. That was his answer. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God gives us a different answer than that. Now, I don't know if he was a believer or not. I'm pretty sure he wasn't, based upon that statement. And I hear some no's of people familiar with them. But I'm glad that God gives us a different answer. I'm glad that when God looks upon us, he sees his creation, who are beautiful and fearfully and wonderfully made. And he sees people who he loves so much that he sent his son to die for us. What a different response. Now, again, I am not anti-science in any way. I love science. I believe science points us to God. I believe the more we learn, the more we discover that we don't know very much. And the more magnificent God's creation becomes as we learn more and more in the scientific world. But the scientific world can never answer David's question. What is humankind that you would be mindful of them? Why do you matter? You see, this morning we're going to talk about finding our place. And why are we looking at Psalm 8 when it comes to finding our place? Because I believe that David gives us some key insights that if we're ever going to find our place, if we're ever going to find where we fit in, where we belong, then we have to start with God. You see, David helps us to see right off the bat that until you understand God's proper place, you will always be confused about your own. Hear that again. Until you understand God's proper place, you will always be confused about your own place. Notice how David begins. We sang it in our opening hymn. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. David's starting place when it comes to finding his place was with God. He addresses God by his personal name, Yahweh. He says, Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is your name. In other words, how glorious, how beautiful, how amazing, how powerful is your name above all the heavens. He's basically saying that, God, you are incomparable to any other. That there is no one like you. That you are Lord over all. And he says, even through the praise of children and infants, will your enemies be silenced. I hope that rings a bell for you. I hope that makes you think of when Jesus entered Jerusalem and the children sang, and out of the lips of children they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted them to be quiet. And Jesus said, no. Aren't we told that out of the mouths of babes, God's truth is revealed? Paul said it like this. He said, it's the foolish things of the world God uses to put to shame the wise. He went on to say, the foolishness of the cross, it will cause people to stumble. And I think this is where our confusion comes in. You see, people have somehow become convinced that they are the wise ones instead of God. And they have begun to worship the created things rather than the Creator. Isn't that what we're told in the first chapter of Romans? Right? For though they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor thanked Him. And he goes on to say they worshiped the created things rather than the Creator. And that's what happens. You see, when we fail to recognize God's worth, when we fail to recognize His glory, when we fail to recognize His rightful place, we begin to place value in all the wrong things and experience unrest. I'm just going to list a few of the things we value, but this list could be very long. When we fail to recognize God, we value self gratification, no matter the risk. How many times do we see people destroy their lives just out of a desire to be gratified? They put that high value on that, whether it's about sex, whether it's about food, whether it's about drinking, self-gratification, whatever gratifies me, and we value it so high, and our society today tells us that's what's important. We also value achievements no matter the price. We live in a time where people like to be praised. I imagine that's every time. I don't think that's new. I think Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. People like to be praised. They like to be patted on the back. They like their achievements. And when we put value on achievement rather than value on service, what we do is we end up running all over people. We end up stomping on them. And we end up, if we're not careful as believers, turning people away from Christ. We also value wealth, no matter the destruction. What are we told? What profit is there if you gain the whole world but forfeit your soul? And yet here we live in a society that is set up to chase after that profit, to chase after that wealth. And we struggle to be content because we look at what everybody else has and we try and keep up. Why does all that happen? Because we fail to recognize God's worth and we start giving worth to things that mean nothing. They mean nothing. All this because we can't get the first thing right. All this because while we may say that we believe in God the Father Almighty, which we're going to say in just a minute, the maker of heaven and earth, far too often we live like we don't believe it. We live as though, yes, we believe in God in theory, but when it comes to practice, we put value on things that mean nothing to Him. And He would say in 2019, what if we made sure we got that first thing right? What if we gave Him the value that He is worthy of? What did Jesus say? He said, I've come to do the will of my Father. What if that was your desire this morning? What if you said, forget all my New Year's resolutions. I have but one, to do the will of my Father. To ask Him, Lord, what is your will for me today? What is your will for me right now? And then once God's proper place is established in your life, you can find your place in relation to His. Again, until you know God's place, you're going to be confused. I'll be confused. But once we know God's place, then it's about how do we relate to Him. David, after glorifying God, asked, what is mankind that you are mindful of him? In other words, what makes us matter to you? I mean, if God is sovereign over everything, why does he care about Kenny Butcher? Why does he care about any of us? The answer is simple. Because he chooses to. Because he created me. Because he loves me. He cares for me in ways that I can't even comprehend. He cares for you in ways. How do I know? Because he sent his son. This psalm speaks to the monumental question about us. About how much God loves us. And it also speaks of how he shows that love in Christ. How do I know? Because Christ quoted this psalm. The Apostle Paul also quotes this psalm in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, where he says, Jesus was made a little lower than the angels, so that by the grace of God, he tasted death for everyone. How do you know you matter to God? Because Jesus came. Because Jesus came. And died for you. In other words, God made a place and a way for us. And because Christ lives in us, we can participate with him in his kingdom forever. The beginning of Genesis, Adam and Eve walked with God. Everything was put under their rule. And then what happened? They fell. They sinned. and what they had was lost. The first Adam. We're told in the scriptures that Jesus is the second Adam, restoring that to those who believe. We're here worshiping God the Father this morning. We're here worshiping Jesus Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit. We give God the glory due His name. And what does God do? He lifts us up. How amazing that is. We come to honor Him. And He meets us in this place. And He strengthens us. You see, we make finding our place much more difficult than it has to be. It's really all about putting your focus on Jesus Christ. Maybe you came here this morning and you've got a list of New Year's resolutions. I've got one for you, and it's to lose weight. I'm 5 pounds down. I've got a lot more to go. But I want you to know, as important as that is for my physical health, just as important for my spiritual health is to focus on Jesus Christ. And if I don't do that, then I'm going to fall on my face no matter how healthy I get. So how do we get there? The first thing we got to do is we have to reject what the world is offering. The world is offering you a life that is about you. That it's all about you. From beginning to the end, you focus on yourself, you get what you need, you get what you want, you gratify your desires, and you ignore anything that makes you feel the slightest bit uncomfortable. Reject what the world is offering you. Second thing we need to do is choose to look upward every single day. Where's David looking? He's looking to the heavens. He says, when I see your handiwork, when I contemplate the heavens where you dwell, I stand in awe. You want to live a life of humility? Look upward every day. Make life about Him. Thirdly, refuse to be overrun by the cares of this world. Aren't we told this in the parable of the sower? Why people struggled to receive the word of God. The thorns came up, choked out the life in them. And those thorns were the cares of this world. How many of us get so bogged down by the cares of this world and we forget that we're not taking that stuff with us to eternity? It's not going to be there. And yet we worry, we stress, we fret. And God says you don't have to. David learned that. Fourthly, make time to establish roots in Christ. You know, this whole psalm is both a song, but it's also a prayer. How much time do you take to establish your roots in Christ? To stay connected to Him? It'll be one of the greatest decisions you make in 2019. To make time for Christ. And then anticipate and be ready for opposition. The enemy is not going to like you giving God glory and figuring out where you fit in relation to Him. He is not going to like that one bit. And the more you strive to do that, the more the enemy is going to attack you. How do I know? Because I've lived it. Right? Anybody else in here lived it? The more you focus on God, the more the enemy will come after you. Anybody ever tried to pray and no matter how hard you prayed, you couldn't stay focused? Anybody ever tried to open up your Bible and the more you read, you kept getting phone call after phone call, email after email, everything and anything to keep you away from God. That's what the enemy does. I love sports. I'll probably watch some of the playoffs today. The enemy's not going to oppose me doing that. That doesn't mean that football's evil. Some people here might think it's evil. I don't know. But that doesn't mean that football's evil. It just means that it doesn't bring me any closer to Jesus Christ. But will you start doing things that'll bring you closer to Him? And the enemy will start coming at you and pestering you. But the good news is, the one who lives in you is greater than the enemy. Amen? And He's going to be right there with you. And He's going to give you all the strength you need. So for this new year, New Year's resolutions are great. I've got some of my own. But the greatest one we can make is to put God in His proper place, give Him all the honor and glory, and figure out what we're supposed to do in response to that. That's the mission. That's the life. And that's a person that God can use. Let us pray. Almighty God, forgive us for sometimes not giving You the honor and glory that You are worthy of. Forgive us at times for the times that we get bogged down by the cares of this world, and we get mixed up on our values, and we get mixed up on our priorities, and we lose sight of who You are. Lord, we want to give You all of the worth that You are worthy of. Help us to do that in 2019. And help us at the same time to find our place always in relation to You. Because that's where we find peace, that's where we find rest, and that's where we find purpose. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.